Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's game day for the Two-Tone Blue, and we're breaking it all down.
Come on, baby, let's get it!
From the war room.
Come out quick, be smart.
To the gridiron.
Let's go! Everybody's gonna eat it!
This is NFL Pregame. With Jared Stillman,
left.
Former NFL GM Floyd Reese, and former NFL wide receiver Chris Sanders. Brought to you by
Middle Tennessee Kubota Dealers and Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com.
On play one, to the last play, we fight!
NFL Pregame starts now on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5.
Welcome to the pregame show. It is week two, Titans and Jags, AFC South 1-0 Tennessee Titans, 1-0 Jacksonville Jaguars, Nissan Stadium today. And we've got the crew here live at the Green Hill Studio. It feels different to not be downtown with the fans. It'll feel different for the fans to go in there and not have, you know, or to not be able to go into the stadium and cheer on the Titans today. But I've got the crew with me here for another season of pregame football. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver. Chris, good to see you today with us here on the pregame show. And, of course, the GM, Floyd Reese. So, guys, it's a new normal. It's a home game at Nissan Stadium. There will be no fans there for the Titans. And yet, it's a football on a fall Sunday. Chris Sanders, after the tough victory the Titans had on Monday night, here come the Jacksonville Jags.
Man, I'm excited. First of all, it's good to see Floyd again. It's good to see you. I'm ready for all your whining again this year. I mean, it's already started.
Yeah, well, I whined a lot Monday night.
No, I am ready for this game. I'm looking to see what the Jags have. I want to see if they're real or not. Everybody's talking about how they beat Indianapolis Colts last week, which is great. And also, I want to see how the Tennessee Titans are going to respond. They play Monday night against the Broncos. I'm not worried about the scheme. I'm not worried about the defense or the offense. I'm just worried about are they going to be fatigued or not? Because when you play Monday Night Football and you go at that altitude and you come back, you have no day off and you come back and play Sunday, are you going to be ready? Are you going to be, you know, physically right to play a physical game like the Jacksonville Jaguars? That's kind of the things that I'm worried about.
Floyd, when you look at this game, I know that we sit there and say, hey, it's early and an early loss in the season. You're usually able to make it up. And the teams that get better from in November and December are the teams that really come out on top. You go back to the Titans last year, certainly got better towards the second half of the year. But it'd be nice to start off 2-0 today.
Yeah, it would be nice. You know, you'd have two AFC wins. You'd have a division win. That's good, you know, and it would be a great start for us. We all know that, and it's not going to get any easier from here. So, you know, this is one of those years, I think, that you better take advantage of a chance whenever you have that chance, because you're not going to have that chance every week.
Yeah.
You know, for example, next week it's going to be a little bit tougher than it could be this week. So I think, I mean, we only have to look at the rosters of these two teams and think, you know, the Titans have a good chance.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take advantage of it.
When was the last time that we started 2-0?
I got to be honest, I can't remember the last time.
When's the last? I don't know. It's been a while.
Because it's always been like 1-1 or 0-2, and you know, we always keep talking about the Tennessee Titans starting fast. I mean, this can be a really fast start when you start 2-0. So now we're not talking about whoa, are the Titans, you know, are any good? But if you start 2-0, 1-0 in the division, then now we're having a fast start.
Yeah, and it's, we all know, you know, after last season, we want to get off to a good start.
Yeah.
We want to be one of the upper echelon teams. We want to do all those things. And to do all those things, you got, you know, can't be sitting at 0-2.
Yeah.
You got to get out there and you got to find a way to win some games and at least be in contention for a while. Because like I said, it's, and the way things are going with every team, not just ours, with every team, with the injuries and the people going down and, you know, how it's affecting this team and who's the injury to this week and all of those things. I mean, it really makes it murky across the board.
And I think it's important too, is we all, you know, Mike Vrabel and J-Rob keeps talking about that they want to have a consistent team. They want to be consistent each and every week. We don't want to see them play a good 1 week and then the next week they come and lay an egg against Jacksonville. We're tired of seeing that Tennessee Titans team. We want to see the team that's going to come out and beat you this week and beat you that week and every week to come, the weeks to come.
Okay, do you guys want to know? I looked it up while you guys were talking. The last time the Titans started 2-0, who wants to take a guess?
I take it. Go, Floyd, you first.
2002.
Okay.
I say 2007.
2008.
Oh!
The Titans, the last time the Titans started 2-0, they started that season 10-0.
Oh, that's right.
Before, the number one record in the AFC before losing to Baltimore in the divisional round of the playoffs. I mean, it's crazy to think about this, the fact that the Titans have not been 2-0 in over a decade. I mean, I was a freshman in college the last time the Titans were 2-0, and a lot of people think about, Chris, I mean,
yes,
this kind of game, a Jacksonville team that we know we saw last week they beat Indianapolis. We saw week three last year, Gardner Minshew, this quarterback, beat the Titans. And yet at the same time, I almost feel like the letdown of losing to Jacksonville would be so hurtful considering what the expectations for this team are, that would almost be a bombshell if that happened today, almost like a disaster if they were to lose.
I just think that this is a different mentality with this team this year. I mean, if you look at last year, you know, Mike Vrabel and Jay Robb was trying to create an environment, identity of a physical football team that plays in, that wins in and out of every week. So I just think that if they do that and listen to what Jay Robb and them are talking about, to be consistent and not have a letdown, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. But we don't want to fall in this trap and say, okay, you know, we played okay against the Broncos, then we come and lay an egg, and then we're back to square one. You got to be a consistent team. If you want to be that top-tier team, you got to beat teams like this, like the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Big news of the day, Floyd Reese. A.J. Brown is going to be out, and obviously we'll touch on that a little bit more when we get into four downs. But injury is going to be a question we're going to be looking at when the inactives come out today. Malcolm Butler, questionable to play. We know Adoree Jackson's already on IR. So this is something that is definitely worth monitoring as far as the Titans are concerned today.
And, you know, we talked about this even in the offseason, but the receiver position, we just don't have depth. You know, we don't. I mean, we don't even know who the fourth guy is, and we don't know where the fourth guy is going to line up.
Wow.
That's our situation right now. So, you know, it's completely in the dark for us, and we're going to have to find out. And maybe they don't even go with a fourth guy. Maybe they go, you know, two receivers, two tight ends. Who knows? Two receivers, two backs. Who knows? I mean, maybe this dumps their 11 package. I hope it doesn't, but maybe it does. So, I mean, but everybody's going through a little bit of this. The problem, you just don't want to get to where we were in the AFC Championship game, which is, you know, you're stuck in a position where you don't have corners and you don't have pass rush. And so you're out there fighting your tail off and you got no chance. You know, you just can't. It doesn't matter. You can't manufacture a pass rush. You can't manufacture speed. You can't line up and cover these guys. And so what are you going to do? And you end up, you know, going down in flames because you really don't have an option. And that's the scary part, especially this early.
You know, and you talk about the receiver spot. I mean, just like you said, who's the fourth receiver? Is it Raymond? I don't know who it is. I mean,
and if it is Raymond, where does he line up? Does he line up outside? Does he line up in the slot? I don't know.
But see, the key is everybody knows Raymond, but nobody knows where he's going to line up.
So. Yeah.
Where is he going to line up at?
But, I don't know.
But it's just like this. The next man's got to step up. This is where Jay Robb and Mike Vrabel earn their money. They got to get somebody in that position. And I think the key, too, is Arthur Smith is going to have to create some packages to where even if you don't have enough receivers, you still got some skilled guys in there that can make plays. That's going to be a part.
And there, I think that gets right into the changing formations
and
changing some of the things you do. And I agree with you 1,000%. I think Arthur, and one of the good things about Arthur now, this is after what, you know, 20 games we've seen him or whatever, is that he looks like one of those guys that understands it and can do it. And so that gives you, you know, you say, okay, he's just going to have to adjust. And we've seen him do that and feel good about him doing that.
Yeah, I mean, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, Jim Wyatt tweets out from the stadium, Titans cornerback Malcolm Butler is going through a pregame workout on the field with strength and conditioning coach Frank Pirano, watching and evaluating Butler is listed as questionable with a quad injury for today's game. I don't like hearing Malcolm Butler working out with the strength coach before the game. I want Malcolm Butler working out, you know, the quad with the trainer on the field before the game, more so than getting a workout in. That makes me think he might be getting some pregame conditioning in, which means that he may not play today.
Yeah, I think what they do, this is not uncommon at all.
Yeah,
you know, go out with a strength coach and you run around a little bit and strength coach watches you and, yeah, he's cool. You know, let's go.
Better than the trainer?
Trainers are usually pretty busy right now.
Yep.
They got 52 guys.
Take the ankles, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we decided to make the strength coach the trainer and decide, okay, he's good to go.
Well, we had one of the good things about us and Watterson.
Yeah, exactly.
Watterson was a trainer.
He was. Yeah.
He was a trainer when we had
the tightest
him to be
shirt
the
on,
strength coach.
Yeah. He had the tightest shirt on, didn't he?
Yeah.
That guy, man. I love him.
And now he works out for 10 minutes a day. So I feel like the Titans and Jags, we have got four downs to get to, the four biggest storylines from today's game. We will do that coming up next. The Titans with a maybe not so impressive win in week one. What do the guys think of that, and what do they take away from it going into week two? And also Jacksonville had their big win over Indianapolis. Plus, we got some big notes to get into with the Titans as well. We will do that coming up. This is the pregame show presented by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com and your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Jared, the GM, and Chris Sanders, the pregame show rolls along right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it is the pregame show. Titans and Jags getting ready for week number two. Both teams 1-0 as they enter the week. By the way, Malcolm Butler, Teron Davenport tweets out a video of Malcolm Butler running sprints out on the field with Mike Vrabel watching, John Robinson running, head trainer Frank Pieranio watching, and DB coach Anthony Midget all watching Malcolm Butler. And he's literally, Floyd, just running about 20-yard sprints and then kind of slowing up and going about another 10 yards and then turning around and sprinting another 20 yards as well. Butler questionable with a quad. What do we make of that?
Well, if he's sprinting, I mean, I don't think much of it. He's okay.
Yeah.
Stick him out there.
I mean, I can't see a guy, Chris, sprinting and them being okay with him sprinting and then saying, no, he's not good enough to play.
But see, it's more to that, especially as a DB or wide receiver. You make him sprint forward, but what happens when you got to go side to side and cut? Because if you're a defensive back, you got to do a lot of breaking and, you know, backpedaling and then exploding. So I think – I know he can run sprints, but if he can't explode, then he might be – he might stay out. I'm trying to be Debbie Downer right now.
It's a Debbie Downer situation. It's time now for the four downs, the four biggest storylines of today's game presented by your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. And, of course, four downs always starts with first down.
First down.
First down, Chris Sanders.
Yes,
the Titans on Monday night found a way to get it done in Denver, but kicking was a problem. Steven Goskowski missed three field goals and an extra point. He did, however, hit the game-winning 25-yarder for the Titans to knock off the Broncos. Kicking was a problem last year. Chris, how worried are you about the kicking game right now?
I am very worried. I mean, we talked about this last year, and it's kind of like putting on the same record, and you're going to keep hearing the same song. We got to start taking that record off and get some kickers in here. I'm not saying that this kicker is not good. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. But just looking at him going through his progression, something's not right. I mean, and when you have a guy that's maybe hurt or coming off that injury, and if something's not right, you got to put somebody in there that is right to make those kicks. But, yeah, it's very concerning because the thing about it is, yeah, we snuck up and won that game, but what happens if we get against the Jacksonville Jaguars and they're put in that same situation and he keeps missing? You don't have no backup, then that is definitely, definitely a problem.
Floyd, you brought up during the week the idea that the kicking game was bigger than just Goskowski and Goskowski missing kicks. How much of a concern is that, knowing that maybe the snaps aren't great or the holds aren't great or the blocking isn't great, to go along with the fact that the Titans are certainly dealing with an issue of confidence surrounding their kicker?
Well, yeah, I mean, and I've said all week long, you know, everybody wants to say he missed four kicks.
Yeah.
When he had one blocked and he had a bad hold on the other, a bad snap. So everybody is going to miss those kicks. I don't care who you are. You can be the best kicker in the history of the world, and if you've got a 6'7" guy butt-to-butt with a center, guess what? It's going to be blocked. So, you know, it doesn't matter. And that's why I keep saying, I mean, he missed the first one and really he missed the second one, whichever one, one was like, they were both like 45s. I can't remember exactly what they were. But the other two were, you know, I mean, no, it doesn't matter who you are. And the bottom line is this, who is better? And there's nobody out there that's better. And there's nobody out there that I want to get on the kicking carousel for. We went through that last year, and that was a nightmare. And I am not going back there. If I have a choice, I am not going back to that kicking carousel. I don't care what happens. If I've got confidence in the guy, whoever he may be, he's going to have to prove to me he can't kick. You know, and kicking a game winner last week is not proof that he can't kick.
You know, that Floyd, that's a great point you make. Is, you know, and even myself, I'm like, we need to get rid of him. I mean, I was going to call Uncle Julio from Napoleon Dynamite to get him in here. I mean, all that. But you made a great point that who else is out there? There's nobody out there. We want to replace people already. Hey, get him out of here. Get somebody else. Well, give me five people on in the NFL or five people that are sitting on their couch that can do better than what he did.
And it's like the receiver thing we're talking about. Yeah. You know, we don't even know who our fourth guy is. Well, get a receiver in here.
It's not that.
Like who? You know, who do you want to get in here?
Well, I'll come out of retirement for 5 minutes.
Here we go.
I got two routes. I give you a hitch and a bubble. That's all I got for you.
But, I mean, you would love sometimes you'd love to make some of these moves, but
you can't.
You know, you only, and I've said this 1,000 times, you make the move if it makes you better. Don't make the move to check and see. Let's just see if. No, that's not where you make the move. You make the move to get better.
Do you think that Vrabel, and I'll start you with this one, Floyd, do you think Vrabel maybe is more risky on fourth downs today because of the lack of faith in the kicker? So if his option is, let's say, in the second quarter, a 46-yarder from Goskowski or a 4th-and-4, would you want Vrabel to be more aggressive going forward in that situation?
He let the guy kick the game winner last week. You know, I mean, I don't know how much more confidence you need to show in the guy. And so, you know, I mean, I don't think it will affect anything he's doing. Other than, I mean, the question always is, and we had this with Gary Anderson, okay? You know, if it got over 40 yards with Gary, 50-50 at best. Inside 40, 100%. Outside 40, 50-50. So as a coach, you now have that opportunity to know, okay, this is a 43-yarder. It's going to be 50-50 with Gary. You know, do we want to go for it on 4th-and-3, or are we going to let him kick it? And at least you can make an educated decision. And that's the key. And I don't know what Steve's, you know, length is. I mean, I just watched his kickoffs last week, and, you know, he kicked him out of the ballpark. So, but it was in Denver. So, you know, I don't know what his strength is, what his range is anymore.
Do you know what can solve this whole problem? If we
score touchdowns.
You know what? The Titans got themselves off the kicking carousel and into the AFC title game last year by not kicking field goals.
Score touchdowns, baby.
I mean, that's all you got to do. They found a way around that. Let's take it to second down.
Second down.
Chris Sanders, yes, another fourth quarter comeback for Ryan Tannehill. Yeah. Ever since taking over quarterback of the Titans, he's got 3 fourth quarter comebacks, 4 game-winning drives, and certainly with the game on the line, Ryan Tannehill has proven that he can get the job done. You played with a quarterback, Steve McNair, who was known for making plays at the end of the game, maybe finishes with 178 yards passing, but Steve McNair would find a way to get you down, set up an Al Del Greco game-winning field goal. Ryan Tannehill does it again. What do you make of the Titans quarterback as he is now 10-4 as a starter since taking over for Marcus Mariota midway through last year?
You know, the one thing I love about Tannehill is he's spreading the ball around. I mean, look how many people touch the ball. You got Davis, Ferkser, Humphreys, Henry, Blassingame, Pruitt, Brown, Smith. You got all these guys that touch the football, so he's spreading the ball around. And then you come down to the last sequence to try to win the game. It's just a different feeling. It's a different attitude. If you look about 3 years ago, and this is no disrespect, but when Mariota was in the game, we wasn't sure if he was going to come back and win the game. But now you got Tannehill when he comes in as your leader and the guy that's leading that offense. There's just a different feel that we're going to go down here, we're going to win the game. And if you watch the receivers run routes, if you watch the running backs run the ball, the intensity picks up when the game is on the line. And it's all because of the leader that you have in Tannehill.
Floyd, what did you make of another fourth quarter comeback from Ryan Tannehill?
You know what? He is what he was right from the beginning. And, you know, I mean, he's poised, he's confident, and they believe in him. And he goes out there and does the same thing in the 2 minutes. I mean, there wasn't a play. There wasn't anything that was done that was special in that game-winning drive. You know?
Nothing.
We had the longest, I think Derek had his longest run, which was 13 yards or whatever. Nothing special. You know, we completed a pass here or there, dropped a couple. We got down and kicked a field goal that we should win.
Yeah.
So it was all, but there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it doesn't have to be if you're workmanlike and if you're focused and if you're, you know, approaching it with a blue collar mentality, that's what you do. Hey, this is what we're supposed to do. I'm supposed to give it to Derek. We're supposed to run three or four times. I'm supposed to throw it to whomever. He catches it. We get up there, get in a position to kick the field goal and kick it. So I think that's, you know, that's what we should expect them to do.
And then this doesn't just happen, Floyd. It happens in practice. You know,
right.
when Mike Vrabel and Arthur Smith, they put Tannehill in that offensive position to where when they get in that position, they know how to handle it. Okay, it's 3rd and 13. You got two timeouts. You got to get a touchdown or a field goal. So it's not like, well, oh, we got to come out and win the game. They've been practicing this from day one to say, you know what, when we get in this situation, we know exactly what to do. So if it's 3rd and 12, 3rd and 13, we got to get a field goal, two timeouts. Everybody knows exactly what to do.
And I think you're exactly right. And I think this is the situational football aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Understand what we have to get done. Understand where you are. Understand how we are going to do that. Mm-hmm. And they obviously have been over all of that. And, you know, and I think you probably saw it not just with Daniel, but with the group.
Yes.
You know, they all understood their responsibilities.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Take a look at Jacksonville's quarterback, Gardner Minshew. Last year, the backup quarterback has to start week two because of an injury to Nick Foles. Plays well, finished 6-6 as a starter. They decided to turn the keys over to him, 62% on the season, 24 touchdowns, 6 picks. Last week against Indianapolis, 19 of 20 for 173, but he had 3 touchdowns in the Jags' surprising win over the Indianapolis Colts. GM, what do you make of the mustache mania with Gardner Minshew?
You know, he has, I mean, you can't, especially the first game last year for us and what he did against Indy, which were very, very similar games. But it's hard to knock the kid, you know. I mean, even though I think in my mind I can look and I can see that he's got some issues and we all are aware of that. But you look at our game last year, game one, and you look at what he did against Indy, and his completion percentage was like an NFL record. You know, he threw, I guess, between the two games, like 5 touchdown passes, no interceptions. So, I mean, he has played really, really well in these two games. I think, you know, he's smart. He's going to take what you give him. Mm-hmm. And the best thing he does is if you break a coverage or if somebody pops open or defender falls or whatever the case may be, he moves around back there with such great vision. He sees that immediately, and that ball is coming out now. He's getting it to him and usually getting them to him in a position where they can catch it and make big plays. Last week against Indy popped 3 coverages, cost him 21 points and the ball game. So, and you know, first time we played him, same thing. Drew the ball up, got a jump ball. You know, they've got a receiver or two, they're 6'3", 6'4", and they jump, you know, out of the building, and we're trying to cover him with a, you know, 5'9" corner. And it doesn't work too good. So, but give him his credit. I mean, he's been accurate, and that's really, really important.
Yeah, and I think he's a good player. I mean, if you look at in 2018, he was a Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year, and he threw for 4,770 yards. Let me read that one more time so y'all can understand that this kid is not a slouch. 4,770 770 yards. That means you're throwing the ball down the field. You're making plays. And the one thing I love about Minshew, I'm trying to maybe pronounce his name wrong, is this guy plays with an edge. I mean, I know he has a funny-looking mustache, but this guy plays with an edge. He's a gunslinger. He takes chances, and that's the one thing I love about him. And I watched the game last week, and they played against Indianapolis, just like what you said, Floyd. He's taking what the defense has given him. If you mess up a coverage, he's going to throw a touchdown. He's going to take advantage of your weaknesses. And that's what I really, really love about Minshew.
The only way you can complete as many passes as he completed is taking the really, really easy throws.
Yeah.
And I think on defense, you have to understand that he's going to give him the easy throw. Let him take the easy throw. That's fine. You know, if it's 3rd and 13 and he's going to complete the ball for 7 or 8 yards, great. You know, punt it, let's go on. I think you have to be smart, and you can't get impatient.
Yep.
Because you get impatient because they're, you know, moving the ball, and all of a sudden you say, okay, I'm going to blitz, and now you blitz. You lose contain. He's out there running around, and somebody drops coverage. The quarterback finds him. You're behind 7-0.
That takes us to our fourth and final down.
Fourth down.
Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
You ever play in front of no fans before?
That'd be negative.
Yeah, I mean, you did play in Memphis.
We tried in Houston and Memphis. We just didn't quite get there.
Yeah, I know. No fans in the building today at Nissan Stadium. What do you guys think that is going to feel like for these players?
There's no home field advantage. I mean, it's just there's got to be. But you know, as a football player, as a professional, I'm going to take people through my mind on how I would think about it. If you love football and you just love the game, the fans are not going to even matter. I mean, I know, you know, on defense we want them to cheer loud so we can mess up their offense. But at the end of the day, it boils down to just playing football. And if they can just go out there and play football and not worry about the fans, I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be all right. Because if I'm out there, I'm going to score a touchdown. And if the fans cheer, if they don't, I'm still good.
I think it was Aaron Jones or Devontae Adams in Green Bay said he's doing the Lambeau leap. Even though there won't be fans out there in Green Bay.
They'll have to get the usher or somebody to come and pull him out of the stands.
But it's just the love of the game, Floyd. You know, when we were young and we played backyard football, did we have any fans?
Nah.
No. We was just hitting each other in the mouth. We're getting scratches on our shoulders and hitting the face because we loved the game. Jared, do you love the game?
Love the game.
Let's go, baby.
Love the game. Speaking of the game, we will take a look at the Titans' offense. Jacksonville's defense did a really good job against Phillip Rivers in Indianapolis last week. What about the Titans' offense after their so-so performance at Denver? Do we think going into this game? We'll get to those keys coming up next. It is the pregame show. 2 hours to kick off. It's right here, ESPN 102.5, the game.
What are the offensive keys for the two-tone blue in today's game? Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and Chris Sanders go inside the offensive playbook now on NFL Pregame on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
2 hours to kick off the Titans and Jags. It is time to take a look at the offensive keys to a Titans victory today. And as we have on the pregame show, we've got our offensive coordinator, Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, and, of course, Floyd, our defensive guy. So, Chris, we start with you.
Yes,
Jacksonville,
sir.
Last week against Indianapolis, they didn't hold Indianapolis off the board, but they got some key plays and key moments, including a big 4th-and-1 stop early in the game inside their own red zone. Chris, what do we think of the Titans' offense after the Denver game, and what do we think about Jacksonville's defense?
I think the Tennessee Titans, it all starts with Tannehill. And I think if Tannehill kind of does what he did last year and manages offense, I think he's going to be all right. He's just got to focus on finding the one-on-one matchups. If you look at with Davis going against the corner, Herndon, or Humphreys against the safety, Josh Jones, or even Janu against Jacobs, if he finds those matchups, he can definitely make plays. And then on the second end is we got to make sure that we got to let the big dog eat. I mean, I know last week he was, 31. He was, he got 106 yards or something like
116,
that. 116 yards.
Like
we got to get him involved early because last week, you know, even though he got 116 yards, it didn't feel like he did. I mean, if he can go out there and get a rhythm and really get to the third level and start running over those defensive backs like he did in the last times they played the Jacksonville Jaguars, I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. But it has to start with Tannehill, find those one-on-one matchups.
And the reason, in my, this is just my opinion, the reason that they looked good against Indy was because Indy got greedy.
Sure did.
Indy lost their running back, and they couldn't run. So what do they have to do? They've got to turn to Rivers. So what did Rivers do after a minute or two? Gets a little bit greedy, tries to force the ball, an interception. Mm-hmm. And that's the worst thing that could happen. I want our offense to be very workmanlike, yep. very blue-collar, very focused, very patient. Mm-hmm. Be patient. Don't get greedy. Go out there, do what we do, run the ball, play action pass. If they're going to give you a big play, sure, go for it. But yeah. don't force it. You know, make them come up with the interceptions. Don't help them by throwing them a ball or turning, you know, or fumbling either way. But no turnovers. And, I mean, this is a game in my mind that all boils down to, you know, the Titans not going out there and screwing the thing up. Just play your game.
Yep, and if you look at last week, you know, the Tennessee Titans offense protected football. They had zero turnovers. You don't want to have them come to this game and you have two fumbles and three interceptions. All you're giving the Jacksonville Jaguars life. And if you start getting turnovers and making mistakes, then all of a sudden you're going to keep a team in that's not supposed to be in the game.
What do you guys make of 31 carries last week for Derrick Henry? I know Vrabel said this week that he is not on a pitch count, but I don't think, you know, what is it, 600 carries for the season? Jeez. If Derrick Henry goes 31 carries in a ball game, what do you make of the pounding on him and the fact that it's a short week, Floyd?
I don't. The two things that I concern about is the short week and the no preseason. You know, he's literally not been hit for an entire offseason. And we go out there and give it to him 31 times, and he probably got 5,000 hits. You know, now, yeah. where does he go from here? And I know he's a big, strong, young guy, but I don't care who you are, a bunch of those hurt. And now we're going to ask him to go out and do the same kind of thing? I hope not. You know, I hope we can get by without doing that. If we got to do it, we got to do it. But you're hoping that we've got to. And the sad part and the scary part, and this is, I've said this too, that we got a rookie backup running back that we have never, ever seen, don't know a single thing about him, and yet we're mad because he's not in there. That shows you what kind of depth we got at the running back position. You know, we're willing to give the ball to anybody because we don't have anybody else back there. Who's it going to be? I don't know. Here you go. Stillman, take the ball. You know, to see you run.
One of my favorite players that I played with was Eddie George. And I watch Eddie George work out. I watch how he's an Iron Man. I watch how he lifts weights. I watch how he did shrugs. I watch how he did squats. I watch him do all these things. I thought this dude was Superman. But when you start getting hit a whole bunch – it starts to take a toll on you. Everybody knows that Henry's Superman. We know that he's big, he's physical, he's strong. But when you start getting tattooed 31 times, then all of a sudden 40 times, and you got a long – this is the second game of the season, and you got 31 carries already? That's kind of a concern because this is a physical game. And just like what you said, Floyd, no preseason games. You're not getting hit. How many times we do 9-on-7 in the game? I mean, during the week. Maybe once.
Yeah.
So if you're not getting hit and you're not getting in football shape, and then all of a sudden you go against the Broncos, now you're going against another physical defense and another physical defense, it takes a toll on you.
What do we make of the Jacksonville Jags defensive personnel? I mean, this is not the Jags defense of 2 or 3 years ago. Miles Jack is still there. But for the most part, it is a whole new cast of characters. Now, one of the things the Jaguars on defense have done is they've stunk, so they've been able to pick early in the draft. Josh Allen, the pass rusher, looks like he's questionable for today's game. C.J. Henderson, their first-round pick, the corner out of Florida, was fantastic last week against Indianapolis. Chris, what do we think of the personnel? Calais Campbell's not there anymore. Yep. Jalen Ramsey's not there anymore. A lot of the big names from that great Jacksonville defense aren't there anymore, and yet they still held their own against Indianapolis.
And I'm going to say this in a total respectful way. I don't like to put people down, but when you start getting rid of bad apples, your mentality changes. Even though the personnel's changed, that means the mentality changed. I looked at Jacksonville play last week, and they're playing like a different team. You don't have a lot of selfish guys in there. When you have a lot of selfish guys in there, then guys are going to play to what they want to do as opposed to into the scheme. If you look at last week when the Jaguars played, those guys were playing together. Those guys were having fun. Those guys were physical. Those guys were making plays because it was about the team. And I think this can be a dangerous defense, not just because they don't have the names that they have last year. It's because their mentality and their attitudes change. Why? Because they're playing together as a team.
And, I mean, there is absolutely no doubt but that Jacksonville got absolutely zero respect this offseason.
Zero.
I mean, every team in the league, oh, they're just, you know, they're gonna try to lose every game so that they can get the number one draft choice and get the quarterback and on and on and on. They won't win a game. They're horrible. How can you do this? How can you do that? And they're feeding off of that. You know, they're making a living off of that. And I think you do play a little bit differently when you're placed in that situation, because everything you're doing is for pride. Mm-hmm. You know, and the only source of pride in our game is winning, you know. Yeah. So for them to be able to go out like last week, win that game, I mean, tremendous source of pride. Very, very excited. And if they can do it again and beat a division opponent, oh, man. Yeah. They'll be on top of the world.
It's like this, Floyd. If somebody ever told you that you couldn't do something, it's going to make you even madder, right?
Exactly.
I'm going to give you a story. When I was with the Houston Oilers, I came in as a rookie, and I remember Travis Hannah. You remember little Travis Hannah?
Yeah.
He came up to me, and he said this. He said, "You're not going to come in here and take my job." Okay. Okay. So that's what they're saying to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yeah. They're like, "Oh, you guys are terrible. You don't have this guy. You don't have that guy." And they're sitting in the back like, okay.
Well, I don't. I mean, they have. We know the secondary is not what it used to be.
True,
and you can't get rid of, you know, Jalen Ramsey's and Boyes and guys like that, and not suffer. You know, the rookie came in and played great last week. Mm-hmm. You know, their linebacker group, they've got Miles Jack back, and he's a little bit of a veteran. And up front, they got Allen back, and we know what he can do. We've seen him in the past. So, I mean, there are players there. It's just not, you know, at this point in time last year, if we were playing them, which we were, playing at the same time, I mean, you would be talking about, you know, Campbell, and you'd be talking about Ramsey, and you'd be talking about all these different players that were all pro caliber players, and they may not have that, but I agree with Chris. They're playing differently. Their focus is different than what it was, which was, okay, you're the all pro, you go out and win the game for me. No, we're in this. Everybody in this room hates us. Everybody thinks we suck. Let's go out here and kick butt.
Dangerous team.
What do we make of the loss of A.J. Brown? How do you replace A.J. Brown today if you're the Titans, Chris?
I just got a call. Hold on.
It's J-Rob.
It's J-Rob. That's how you had. No. I mean, you can't. I mean, last week he kind of struggled a little bit. He dropped a couple of balls. But you can't replace a guy who's basically your number one player. But somebody's going to have to step up. Khalif Raymond's going to have to step up. Everybody loves Raymond, especially this guy on my right. But you can catch that. So you can catch that.
Oh, I got it. I got it last year when you said everybody loves him.
Yeah, but somebody's going to have to step up. And you know, if I'm a defense coordinator for the Jacksonville Jaguars, I'm taking out the number one guy, and that's Corey Davis or Jonnu Smith. Some of those guys are going to have to step up. This is where Humphreys is going to have to make his money. He's going to have to convert on third down, and also he's going to have to make some plays downfield because you don't have that downfield threat as an A.J. Brown.
Floyd, how do you replace A.J. Brown today?
Well, I mean, we obviously don't have anybody to replace him.
The Titans, by the way, have called up Cam Batson from the practice squad. Not sure anybody really cares about that, but they have. So there's that.
As I said, we don't really have anybody to replace him. So what you have to do is you have to try to figure out how does that change what you're going to do.
True.
Because it's going to change what they're going to do. And I think it's as simple as, like I said during the week, you know, if you want to play too deep to take away the two receivers, well, now you only have one receiver you have to take away. So now you can play three deep. So now you can bring the safety down the box. Now you've got the extra guy to take care of Derrick Henry and force you into throwing the ball. And we're going to be doubling your number one receiver. So, you know, where do you go from there? That's kind of the big question mark.
Titans will be without A.J. Brown this week. Who knows if it'll be more weeks? Adam Schefter reported during the week it's a bone bruise for Brown, and that could be a multiple-week injury. Chris, you ever have a bone bruise?
Uh-oh, my mic's out.
Oh, okay, your mic's good, but your headset must be out. Bone bruise. Have you ever had a bone bruise?
No, how do you get that? I've never had a bone bruise.
We talked about it during the week.
I've
never even heard of it.
I've never heard of a bone bruise. Is it like you get bumped up and your bone gets bruised? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Coming up next, we'll turn it to the other side of the ball. We'll take a look at the Titans' defense. What can the Titans' defense do? Good game against Denver, not a great game. What can they do against Gardner Minshew and the Jags? That's coming up next. It is the pregame show on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Time to take a look at the defensive keys in today's game for the Tennessee Titans against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Indy, we thought, had a pretty good defense, but it wasn't good enough against Gardner Minshew last week for the Jags. Minshew, 19 of 20, 173 yards, 3 touchdowns. He was sacked 4 times, though, by Indianapolis. Now, Indy's got a little bit better pass rush. The pass rush for the Titans, they've brought in Vic Beasley. Will he play today? He's questionable. Jadeveon Clowney made his Titans debut in unspectacular fashion against the Denver Broncos on Monday night. Jeffrey Simmons had a big game. Floyd, you're the defensive coordinator. Minshew in the Jags. We don't know much about their running game. James Robinson, their running back. And they've got young receivers, but a lot of speed at those positions. What do we think going into today's game?
I think it's the same as with the offense. I mean, they have made their hay against us the first game last year and against Indy by you messing it up.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to prevent. Just like we said on offense, we have to go out there, be very workmanlike. Don't get all in a tizzy if he completes a couple of balls, because he's going to throw underneath. He's going to, you know, ticky-tack you all the way down the field. What we have to do is we have to make them go the entire field. When you think about, now, this NFL game, their leading rusher gained 60 yards, and the passer gained 175 yards, and they win. That does not happen in the NFL. You know, and so what you're saying is the defense screwed it up, and they did. They broke 3 coverages, gave up 21 points, and lost a game. And that's why I said, I don't care about the special. I don't care. I want us to be solid. I want us to go out there, have no mistakes. Whatever we can get from a pass rush standpoint, great. Let's get it. However we can do against the run, great. Let's do it. But don't be all, this isn't a game. This isn't like you're playing Kansas City. You don't have to invent ways to score, or you don't have to invent ways to try to stop somebody. We've just got to go out and play our game and be really, really smart about it.
Yep, I think our front four is going to be good with Simmons, Landry, Clowney. Our front three, I think they're going to be pretty good. But the only thing that concerns me is the secondary. I mean, we have Butler and Adoree Jackson not there. Who's going to cover Cole and Chark? I mean, that guy can go now.
Yeah.
I mean, who in the secondary is going to run with him? I don't know if Fulton is full speed, Chris Jackson. Who's going to cover those guys? That's the back end is what concerns me. I think we're going to dominate up front. I really do. I mean, because I just can't see them blocking our guys. But the secondary is what concerns me. What's going to happen when they run those crosser routes and Chark catches a pass and he runs up the seam or whatever he runs? Who's going to stop him?
And that's what I think in my mind. I would rather have him complete 6 balls to Chark and let him gain his 80 yards with 0 touchdowns than to get all up in a tizzy because he caught a couple balls and say, okay, we've got to play him man for man now. Jump up there,
no.
You know, our 7th round rookie draft choice, and take him man for man. Will not happen. We will be in trouble. So I don't want to see any of that. I don't want to see. Let's just be smart.
Yeah.
Be patient. Force them. It's like I said in our 3 things you want and don't want. First thing out of the back. Force them. Make them beat you. Don't beat yourself.
And I think the linebackers are going to have to be important. And the reason why I say the linebackers are going to be important is because, you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars run a lot of crossing routes.
Yeah.
And what they got to do is when they see somebody or Chark or Cole coming across, you need to take his spleen out. I mean, you got to. Because if they catch the ball, they're good with yards after catch. So I just think if the linebackers watch those guys cross and hit them, give them a little nudge, it'll disrupt the timing. And then now you put Minshew in a position to where he makes mistakes.
Floyd, what do you think of the receiving personnel for the Jaguars? Laviska Shenault Dalt, the second round pick out of Jacksonville or out of Colorado, had a couple of catches the other day. Chark had a couple of catches. Keelan Cole was their leading receiver with 5 catches. We know that all three guys, specifically Chark and Shenault, have speed. Shenault 3 for 37, Cole 5 for 47, Chark 3 for 25. All three had touchdowns. What do you think of those three receivers for Jackson?
Yeah, again, the 5 for 45, great.
Yeah,
let them have it. There you go. You want 5 for 45? Here you go. Go home. The part that scares you is the touchdown part. And that's why I said, let them have all of that. Let them have all that stuff. They could get, but eliminate those two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And because those two touchdowns were what cost you the game. And if you can do that, you're going to be fine. I mean, they do have quality young receivers, the guys that can run. I think they're guys that they are really, really excited about. I think we are going to have the opportunity to maybe introduce those guys to the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we need to do. You know, we need to make the young running back, you know, free agent running back that was at like East Carolina or wherever he was. He doesn't know what the NFL's about. You know, he got no clue. Hey, I went out there and gained 60 yards, the most by a free agent running back in the history. Great, way to go. To introduce him to the NFL.
Yep, so. And we can't give up that explosive play. We can't. Don't give up that explosive. No cheat one. I mean, just like you said, we can't go cover zero and all of a sudden you're on Chark and he runs the post and a touchdown. We just can't do that. And we got to get Minshew in third and long, because when he gets in third and long, that's when he makes those mistakes.
And I said this during the week. I mean, Gruden does a great job of scheming you up. Mm-hmm. If he knows what you're going to be in and what you're going to be doing, he's going to find a way to give somebody a chance to get open. And I think that's why if you're playing zone and you're all safe and you're back there, it's much, much harder to do. Mm-hmm. Now, they're going to, like Chris said, they're going to catch some of that crossing stuff and check downs.
That's okay.
And do some, let's go up, make the tackle, you know, hold on, make them punt at a point in time, and now we're off and running. But the second you get all antsy and say, okay, we're going to show them, next thing you know, you're behind.
Chris, we don't know if Malcolm Butler's going to play. We'll probably know in about 30 minutes or so or 15 minutes or so if Malcolm Butler's going to play today. If he doesn't play, what did you think of the rookies, Jackson and Fulton, you know, second-round pick and a seventh-round pick out there? And what do you do at cornerback knowing you've got those two guys, Jonathan Joseph, and then some really just special teams guys that are on the active roster as well?
They're going to have to put their big boy pants on. I mean, seriously, just being honest with you. I mean, just like what you said, Floyd, being introduced into the NFL. These guys are getting introduced quick because you have a Dory out, you have Butler that they might have a chance to play. But what you don't want to do is start putting these guys in bad positions. And when I say putting these guys in bad position, it's going man-to-man with Chark and Cole. You just want to play zone, maybe play a cover three, and play maybe a little robber to make sure you keep those guys in front of you. Keep those guys in front of you and not get beat and give up the explosive plays. Because if you go man-to-man, you don't think that their offensive coordinator is licking their chops and say, okay, we got two rookies over here. We got a seventh-rounder. We got a second-rounder. I'm going after them cats, and all of a sudden you're going to see the referee hold his hand up and say touchdown if they do that.
Yeah, you end up giving up a play because, you know, you run two under three or you run a guy underneath a couple of receivers, and the outside corner just lets him go thinking somebody else is going to take him.
Yeah.
Touchdown. Yep. Now you're behind.
What's interesting about this, too, is I wonder how much – let's say Butler doesn't play, and I do think that Butler will play, but let's say he doesn't play today. I think there's going to be a big responsibility on Byard and Vaccaro to make sure that those rookies don't – that there's help over top.
Yep.
And it may take away what you want to do in the blitz game and in the run game, but that those rookies don't get beat and that there's not somebody back there making sure that, hey, if Jackson makes a mistake in technique and falls over his feet and all of a sudden here goes Chark, there's got to be somebody back there.
Yeah, but then all of a sudden, if you go cover two, then you lose a safety that's coming field the running game.
Well, then you turn into the Colts, last week was 19-20 for 95%. But I'm just saying, if I've got Butler out there, I feel comfortable saying, okay, you've got Laviska Shenault, you've got DJ Chark, you've got And Butler may get beat by one of those guys, but I don't think that, like, I trust Butler.
Yeah.
If I don't have Butler out there, and I know Jonathan Joseph can't run, I'm going to have some safety help.
Yeah. I mean, the sad part is, if he's not out there, I mean, you really only have one guy that can run. And that's Fulton. Because the other two guys can't run, you know, and so now you're playing with four safeties. So you better be careful.
But you know what would solve this whole thing?
Pass rush.
There you go.
I was going to ask you, how do you get it? Because against Denver, they did not get pass rush. Clowney did not get pass rush, and Vrabel brought up conditioning, and I think we know a guy misses training camp. He's not going to be 100% conditioned for week one. Beasley might play as well today, but Chris, how concerning is it after an offseason where we talked about pass rush, we don't see the pass rush from the Titans, at least through 1 week?
Well, we definitely needed this game. I mean, we got to make Minshew make mistakes, and the way you make him make mistakes is if you put pressure on him. I think Clowney's going to have to step up. I'm not saying he didn't step up last week, but he didn't play up to his potential. If he plays up to his potential, Rashard Evans, if he doesn't get kicked out of another game, and he can help put pressure on him, and then you have the other guys that can Simmons, and they put pressure on him, then all of a sudden he's going to make the mistakes. But if Minshew sits back there and he has time and starts to read the defense, read the coverages, and read everything, then all of a sudden we can wear in for a long day.
And I think the biggest thing that will help us with the pass rush is that we're going to have numbers this week.
Yeah.
You know, last week we had the three outside guys, and we knew Clowney was iffy at best simply because he hadn't done anything. And the other two guys were, you know, Landry got the one hit I know of, but just not as productive as you would hope. So if you can outnumber them, then you can rotate enough to where you at least keep the guy in there that's fresh when it's time to rush, and that will give you a chance.
What'd you guys think of Simmons? I mean, I know that everybody was talking about the way he played, but do we think Simmons can kind of be the guy? You know, I mean, I'm not saying that he's – can he be the guy that creates havoc and sets it up for everybody else?
I think he can. I mean, and the reason why I say I think he can is because he's always around the ball. I mean, look at what he did when he stopped Denver Broncos on fourth down. He's on the other side, and he goes through two tackles, and all of a sudden he tackles the running back. And then when Byard is he strips the ball, who gets the fumble recovery? It's Simmons. He's always around the ball. What is that telling me as the outside looking in? That means he's hustling every single play. And when you have a guy that's hustling every single play and making plays and being physical, if he does that this game, Minshew could have a long night, be in for a long night.
And inside pressure in all pass rushes always helps the outside guys because now the quarterback has to flush one way or the other. You know, he would prefer to flush inside.
Coming up next, one big-time Titan who was questionable is in, one is out. We'll get to that next as we will break it down on the pregame show. Chris Sanders, sure. Floyd Reese, Jared Stillman, it's ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Oh, I have had no luck lately. Wait, lady luck?
Britsky, I got you. I've had so much luck on SpinQuest.com. They have all of my favorite games, slot games, live blackjack craps, and bubble craps. You can even get a $30 coin pack for just $10.
$10 for 30? I'm headed over to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.